CEH Productions present The Imagination Chronicles, Journeys of Inspiration and Invention. The Shrine Tree by Judith Cullen.
He stepped onto a bridge whose stonework should have felt familiar. He'd stepped onto hundreds of them during his life and in his travels. Yet, as his boots stepped from the bright light where he'd spent the last week, the shade closed around him and transformed into shadows. The air went from gentle to persistent. Something else changed too, though he could not quite discern what it was. He stopped just as he cleared the stones, his feet sinking into the mossy grass. He was a fixer. He fixed things, people, places, situations. He travelled from place to place as he was bidden. Whatever was wrong, he made right again. Sometimes that involved applying his own hands to physical repairs. Sometimes it meant leading people to solutions that were within their grasp, but were difficult for them to see. People could get so involved emotionally that they lost a clear view of the simplest problem, worrying it to death with their emotions instead of solving it, like picking at a wound so it didn't heal. He had schooled himself to remain detached, though never unpleasant. It had been a hard lesson that he'd learned at a young age. It made him good at what he did and guaranteed that his services remained in demand. He stood in the shadow of a vibrant fuchsia tree as tiny bright lights twinkled at him everywhere. He looked about at the dark buildings of stone, shingle and onion domes, trying to determine why this border crossing, one of thousands he'd made, was suddenly different. He was surrounded by vibrant, rich colour, tempered by a looming somberness. It was not just what his eyes were seeing. There was something different inside of him. What was it? As he rounded the first bend in the path, he came upon a shrine. In his travels, he'd seen many such sites. Wayside places where people memorialized their losses. The dear departed made manifest with objects that flickered, reflected, or represented. A statue, an image, a trinket, a wafting of incense, the flicker of a flame. These same were present in this one sight. He bent down to let his finger play over the checkered surface of a delicate white cat. He felt the warmth of the candles, inhaled deeply the scent of sandalwood, and within him the strange feeling expanded into a discernible ache. He stood up abruptly and backed away. What was wrong with him? He'd felt himself being drawn in by the tokens, as if each whispered to him with a distinct voice, enticing him. But to what? He knew naught of these tokens, or who they honoured. This was not how he was. He depended on being dispassionate. It was not just his profession. It had become the backbone of his life. He looked down to discover that his hand had raised to his chest of its own volition and was massaging the skin over his heart. Was he sick? He didn't feel dizzy, and there was no pain, not the usual kind at least. What he did feel was that a hole had opened inside him and was growing larger. He hurried along. This was, after all, only a land he was passing through on his way to somewhere else, a place and people in need of his objectivity and removed perspective. Turn after turn in the road brought a new shrine, and as each whispered to him, he found himself moved more and more by them. A crystal, a cherub, a small potted plant bravely blooming. He tried to redirect his attention, yet whether it was tiny fairy lights in the trees or the small candles that burned in each window and wall niche, they all called to him, just as the shrine objects had. He began to run. He had to get out of this place. His chest was filling with pain, the hole growing into a void. Everywhere he turned, there were more lights, more shrines, more small, insistent voices. He dodged between a building and a wall that did not even look like a path. Perhaps he could find the back of something here, a place that did not whisper and shine. Maybe he could stop, catch his breath, regain his equilibrium. But instead of off the track to nowhere, he found he was somewhere. And the impact of it drove him to his knees. He fell before a great tree, bigger than the largest building, dwarfing the landscape. He had not even glimpsed it, despite the fact that he'd wandered deep into this land. The wind wandered through the domes and whistled a slow, relentless melody over the tiled roofs, but there was no wind in the great tree. The tree created a motion of its own, a symphony of light and fantastical miasma. Depending from its branches were dozens of lanterns, hanging stolidly, unmoving except for the flicker and flutter of their flames. He bent over and shut his eyes, covering his ears with shaking hands, trying to blot out the sight and sound of this place, trying to stop the pain. But even not seeing it, not hearing it, he felt the heat of the land from every single light, every single flame. He reached down for the ground, crushing wads of leaves in his hands in agony and frustration. When he raised his face, it was wet with tears. But wait, he never cried. He never cried. He had not cried since, when had that been? It had been so long ago that he could not even remember how long. Years, decades, a lifetime, an eternity. He had not cried since the day she had died. In his mind, he was transported back to that moment, to that memorial littered with objects of love and tribute. He remembered how he'd stood up and made the decision to remove himself, to eschew feeling, to neither love nor hate. The risk was too great. The pain was too great. He had bent his entire life towards this end, fashioned and excelled at an occupation that kept him at a distance from the mess of getting involved, from the dangers of caring. Now he was surrounded by that which he had spent a lifetime denying, and it was tearing him to pieces, atom by atom. He turned from the tree, still seeking a way out, a way to maintain his denial. His eyes fell on a brass sunburst, topping an ivy-covered pile of stones, and a small candle flickering there. Wisps flew around the pile, and rather than indiscernible whispers, their voices called his name. He was drawn to the sunburst. Hadn't he called her that? His sunshine? Into the brass was inscribed a name, and he choked out fresh tears as his fingers traced the name he already knew was indelibly etched there. Ray. Looking down, he saw that the candle rested on a scrap of something which had writing on it. Without hesitation, he gently removed it and read the words that were written in a well-remembered hand.
You do not choose love. Love chooses you. Accept the risk.
He calmed as the sound of her voice came back to him. He had accepted the risk once. When he'd lost her, he had turned from it, walking away. His tears still flowed freely, but he no longer feared them. They cleansed him as pain and void subsided. He felt the land, which had so recently oppressed him, begin to fill up with an overflowing stream of emotion. Love remembered, love enduring. He traced her name again, knowing that the etching was still in his heart, not just on the brass. He could no longer deny it. He realized now that the shrine tree was the heart of a place where remembrance was honored in every possible way, from the simplest statue on the cool ground to the highest candle in the tallest building. The tree itself towered over them all, reminding of the enduring power that binds all creation together. There was a roseate sunset glowing on the horizon, warming the surface of the lilac waters just as the flames and lights warmed pockets of the ever-present breeze. He felt its embrace, felt connected, part of the great well of remembrance. His tears were gone. He was whole. He was at peace.
The Shrine Tree by Judith Cullen was read by Judith Cullen and Richard Elin. The music In Paradisum from the Requiem by Gabriel Fauré was arranged by Ben Perry and Benedict Madden and made available by Audio Network Limited. The program was produced by Richard Elin and is part of the series The Imagination Chronicles and was a CEH production.